May it please God to bless us this evening as we consider his word together. Let's turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8 and reading verse 20. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8 and reading verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and he was called to prophesy in a difficult time in the history of Judah and Israel. But as all the prophets, he was faithful in those things which he was able to declare. And we have reference here in this verse to the law and to the testimony. And what he was referring to there was really the word of God. Now, of course, in his day, they didn't have all the Bible as we know it. What we know they did have was the first five books of Moses. We know that they did possess those because they were placed in a scroll and placed alongside the ark in the holy place and then in the temple. So we know that they had those writings. And of course, in those five books in the Bible, there is wonderful truth, wonderful facts, wonderful direction, especially to Israel, how they were to conduct themselves, and the laws and commands and the ceremonies given in great detail. And it was the Lord's command, it was the word of the Lord, and therefore there was no area, no way of ignoring or turning aside and pretending that they did not mean or become part of or were part of the true word of God. And so Isaiah directs them, the people, to this truth, to the law and to the testimony. Well, what a blessing it was that they did have the law and the testimony. And what a blessing it is for us today that we have the law and the testimony. And of course, the law and the testimony for us today is not only the first five books and the word of God of Moses, but all the Old Testament and all the New Testament. And as we read this statement of the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, that means that the people are not speaking in accordance with the word of God. What is the truth? It is because there is no light in them. Well, it's obvious today that there are many people who are not speaking in accordance with the word of God. They are speaking in opposition to the word of God. They are speaking those words which suit themselves. They follow that which panders to public opinion rather than keeping to the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And that, of course, is an exceedingly solemn statement, because if there is no light, no spiritual light, it means there is no life in them. And so we conclude that if there are those who speak contrary to the word of God, it is because they remain dead in trespasses and in sins. There is no room for any other opinion. There is no room for man's considered opinion. It is only the word of God which is to be followed, the word of God which is to be obeyed. And it is the wonderful privilege of the people of God to walk in accordance with the word of God. And as we read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that wonderful book of the word of God, what a wonderful blessing it is. You sometimes realize what a favor it is to have God's word to be able to read. And as we have God's word, to be able to read, to follow the precepts, to follow the instruction, to follow the commands, to follow the exhortations, and to not argue with the word of God. Many people today, they argue with the word of God. They use phrases like, well, it's not fair and it's not just. My friends, the word of God is fair and it's totally just. And it's in accordance with a just God. We have a just God who deals fairly. He deals rightly. It's the people, it's us who walk contrary to our God, who disobey our God, who do not walk in accordance with the word of God. And it's a great blessing if we possess an honest heart and a true desire to do that which is right in accordance with the word of God. And so Isaiah tells us very clearly to the law and to the testimony, to the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, the people don't speak according to it, it's because there is no light in them. Well, I hope amongst us here tonight that all of us conclude that what we read in the Bible is the word of God, and that we do speak according to this word. See, we read this statement, if they speak not according to this word. That means that in our conversation, we are to be found speaking in accordance with the word of God. And again, that's a searching thought, isn't it? To speak according to the word of God. The word of God directs us how to speak, doesn't it? And so many evidences there are how we should order our conversation. And one of the critical things where we can testify as to whether it's good or bad is those things that we say, we speak, are they for the honour and glory of God? And again, how exceedingly difficult that is to be able to answer in the affirmative and say, well, of course, I always do that. You know, we only have to read a very simple statement in the Word of God, which is this: the thought of foolishness is sin. And by nature, of course, we are foolish. And yet, just the thought of it, and yet when it comes into words, then it can't be, can it, in accordance with the Word of God. And you know, if we speak unkind things, can they be in accordance with the word of God? They speak not according to this word. If we speak unkind things, is that in accordance with God's word? Or is it those things that we just desire to say? Well, this is a very important word, because it was important in the days when Isaiah wrote it. It's always been important, and it's no less important today, as we walk on this earth, to be found speaking according to the word of God. And if we're speaking in accordance with the word of God, are we speaking those things which do indeed honour and glorify the great name of our Saviour? Or do we speak things which just honour and glorify ourselves? The heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. And my friends, if we listen to our heart and we speak things from our heart, you see, are they right? Are they God honouring? Or do they satisfy our own ego? Well, we have the word of God. You know, the word of God was proclaimed down through the ages, and there are many people that were who ignored it. You know, in Jeremiah's day, there were those people who Jeremiah prophesied to, didn't he? Jeremiah was a great prophet of the Lord, and he prophesied faithfully, and he was blessed to speak those things which were right, but they didn't always, in fact, they very seldom believe those things. And in the 37th of Jeremiah we read, "And King Zedekiah the son of Josiah reigned instead of Coniah the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon made king in the land of Egypt. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah." Now, we know, of course, what became of those people. They were taken captive by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and taken down into captivity, into Babylon, for 70 years. My friends, why? Because they did not listen to the words of the prophets. The prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and others, they spoke the truth of God, but they decided, no, they would not listen to those words. They would not obey those words. They would follow their own inclination because they thought their judgment was better than Jeremiah's judgment. My friends, Jeremiah's judgment was that which he received from the Lord. And so, as we bring that to ourselves today, are we judging a situation ourselves? Are we concluding what should be done and what should be said? Or are we following the word of the Lord? Are we following that which is recorded in the Bible for our instruction? Are we desiring, therefore, to be led and directed by the word of God and only the word of God? Or are we left to ourselves to follow our own inclinations, just like Zedekiah and the people in Judah in those days? My friends, what a sad, sad end came upon them. See, God is not mocked. We cannot treat God as ourselves. We cannot think that God will turn a blind eye to things that we speak and say. My friend, God marks everything, every detail that we say. And if we realize God is all-seeing, how Solomon, how searching is that word to the law and to the testimony. God's word is powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God, my friends, penetrates. The word of man doesn't. The word of God penetrates. It comes and touches our heart. And it digs deep. And it cuts deep. And when the Spirit of God applies his word, we know it is the word of God. You know how sharp a sword can be, how it can pierce very easily. The word of God, my friends, can pierce very easily into our hearts and rebuke us in those things which we may have spoken. If they speak not according to this word, not according to the word of God, then the solemn verdict is, it is because there is no light in them. Well, I'm sure we don't want to be found in that condition, do we? Operating in our own way and finding it's because there's no light in us. How solemn that is. Well, I believe the truth is that if sometimes, as the Church of God throughout the ages have been left to follow their own pursuits, yet you see the Lord is gracious. The Lord brings them back. The Lord causes them to consider their ways. The Lord speaks to their heart, and what does it do? It brings them to a place of repentance. So they say, whereas I repent in dust and ashes. When the word of God, the truth of God, is applied to our hearts, it does have a good and it does have a gracious effect upon us. How thankful we should be that we have the scriptures. The word of God encourages in so many places, and One of the wonderful words that we can read is in the 119th Psalm. They're no doubt are familiar words to us, but they speak like this. Thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, is God's word that to us? As we read the word of God, and do we read the word of God to seek for these directions? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It directs us in the way that we should go. Not to be left to our own understanding, to our own appreciation, but to search the scriptures that we may be directed in the way that we should go. We read in the Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have to beware that Satan doesn't indicate to us, look, this is the way, this is what you should, where you should go, this is what you should say, this is what you should do. And we fall under such a snare. And the word tells us it's the ways of death. It's not the way of life. If we follow that way, which is wrong. Yes, thy word. And God's word will not change. You and I change. God's word does not change. Again, in the same psalm we read, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible won't change. You won't read it one day and come to a view, read it the next day and come to a different view. If you read it with an open heart, desiring that God will speak to you, you will not come to any mistakes or any wrong way. But if you've got your own perceived ideas and you are searching for a word just to suit your position, to be a guiding word, to agree with the way that you're taking, you may make mistakes. You need to come in this simple way. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That was what the Apostle Paul prayed, didn't he? Yes, he was open-minded to God's direction. He didn't come and say, God, I've got a plan and I want a word to confirm that plan. See, some people operate in that way. That's not being submissive to the will of God. The way to be submissive to the will of God is to simply come and seek that God will appear, that God will guide, that God will direct. See, God knows what's best for you and I. We don't know ourselves. We think, oh, that would be a good idea, and that would be a pleasant way, and I could like doing that. My friends, God may not be in it. God may perhaps allow us to make a mistake. He may allow us to say foolish things. But you know, you and I will come back. The Lord brings us back. And he brings us back, and it's often like this. It's with broken bones. You don't come striding back. No, the Lord deals with us in love to our souls and instructs us and teaches us in the right way. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Remember that. It's always there. It's settled. God's word is settled. It won't change. And you know, the psalmist, he knew the word of God. And of course, he didn't have all the word of God that we have today. But you know what he said? He said this, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. How do we view the word of God? To the law and to the testimony. Do we come today and say, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Or do we just scamper through a few verses in the morning and perhaps a few at night and tick a box and think, well, I've done my duty today. My friends, there's no hunger in that, is there? There's no thirst in that. There's no real desiring for spiritual life or spiritual food. It's just going through what the Word of God explains to us as bodily exercise, which profiteth little. My friends, we need to be blessed. We need to pray that we may have such an example as this. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I was invited out to lunch this week by the pastor of the Baptist Church in Reigate, who I know quite well. And we meet just very infrequently, but he likes to meet with me, strangely enough. And he invited me out, and we were talking about the Word of God. And he told me that, he said, 18 years ago, all that long after he was converted, he went up and he was worshipping in Westminster Chapel. And the minister said, I think it was R.T. Kendall, who followed on, of course, from Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he said, there's a wonderful example given to us by Robert Murray McShane in reading the Bible. And he said, there is a system where if you follow his system, you read all the Bible in a year, and the Psalms twice, and the New Testament twice. And he was able to tell me, and I was pleased to hear it, he said, thankfully, he said, I've been able to do that for the last 18 years. Well, it's good, isn't it, when we hear of people who are perhaps outside our denomination who really love the Word of God and love to read it. And he said, sometimes it's not easy. Well, it's not easy, is it? Sometimes the devil says, well, you've got this job to do. You must get on and do it. It's good, you see, if we can concentrate on the things of God, put time aside so that we may be able to say, like the psalmist here, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The reality is, the more you and I read the Word of God, the more we shall meditate on it, because the more we have to meditate upon it. If you've only read two or three verses, nothing against that, because sometimes it's impossible to do more. But if you read, rather than two or three verses, quite a few pages, quite a few chapters, the necessity, there's far more, isn't there, to meditate upon. And so we can understand how the psalmist was able to make such a statement. Oh, how love I thy law. And it was exemplified by what he did. He meditated on all the day. It wasn't just vain words to say, well, I love the Word of God and that was all. No, he wanted to read it and to meditate upon it. We live in a day and age when people are not very knowledgeable about the Word of God. And it's a solemn position, because the Islamic world, there are many people in the Islamic world who know the Quran from beginning to end. They could recite the whole of the Quran. My friends, how many people can recite the Word of God? Well, I should think it's probably zero. I know William Huntington, I think, could recite the Word of God. And when he preached, he often didn't need a Bible, because he knew it so well in his heart. It's good, isn't it, to read and to meditate upon the Word of God. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. If we do not speak in accordance with the Word of God, and the more we read the Word of God, the more we shall know about the Word of God, and the more we shall have the mind of God, because we shall be able to understand God's way more clearly. As we read through the Psalms and read through the Proverbs, much instruction there is to you and me today to follow the Word of God. We often glibly say, don't we, well, of course, I want to follow the Word of God. Well, I hope it's true, but you know, we need a lot of spiritual understanding to be able to follow the Word of God exactly as it is, and not to miss out a part if it goes against our plans, against our way of life. Now we need to walk and to pray. The Lord give us that grace and understanding to hear and to obey the Word of God, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. If people speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. Well, it's a tremendous statement, isn't it, to think of that? Yes, that there's no light if we speak not according to the word of God. And the word gives us instruction as to how we are to live our life and how we are to pray. You know, we have many wonderful examples, don't we, in the word of God of prayers. Some good examples. The Psalms are mostly prayers, of course. And we've got Hezekiah's prayer, and we've got Nehemiah and Ezra. Many prayers there are in the word of God. And therefore, are we speaking in accordance with the word of God when we pray to our God? The word of God gives us those very blessed and very wonderful examples. And so as we study the word of God, if you read the word of God more and more, we'll see those examples. And as we come to our God in prayer, to be able to follow those examples, not necessarily by just trying to study to copy them, but because those phrases and those words are familiar to us. And therefore we're able to come to our God with thanksgiving. Remember, the psalmist so often came and praised his God and thanked his God for so many blessings and mercies. And all of us are favoured with that. Do we speak then in accordance with the word of God? Do we come in that right way with thanksgiving? And sometimes it was seen that we just come to God with a want list. We just run down a want list. And we expect God to answer that want list. God desires to be honoured and glorified. God is a jealous God. We need to acknowledge how great the Lord is and to thank him for his wonderful grace and for his wonderful blessings and for his wonderful favours. We need to come in a right way, in accordance with his word, not in accordance with our word. We're thankful to know that the door of the mercy of the Lord is open all day to the poor and the needy, not by the way, but nevertheless there is a right way. You know, we're told not to rush into the presence of the Lord as a horse to the battle. We should come in a right, solemn consideration. Sometimes it may be that we're unable really to pray anything else. We may have an urgent need, and it comes like this: Lord, help me. That's not a bad prayer. That's a good prayer. It's not a long prayer, is it? You see, we don't impress God with long prayers. No, my friends, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you follow the prayers in the word of God. They're not long. Solomon's prayer, the longest prayer recorded in the word of God. You can read it in 10 minutes. The longest prayer. If they speak not according to this word. What guidance we have then in prayer in the word of God. And we are therefore instructed to pray in accordance with this word. To follow the guidance and the direction, we should be thankful. The Lord has left on record wonderful directions for us. And we know, of course, that the disciples asked the Lord how they should pray. And the Lord gave them that very simple and wonderful direction of what we term the Lord's Prayer. Well, may we be followers then of the Word of God, and not only in our prayers, but also in our spiritual life, that we may set a good example in the world in which we live. The prophets, they didn't follow the fashions of the world, did they? They followed the Lord's way. They were faithful in what God commanded them to preach. It wasn't popular, was it? They didn't seek for popularity. They didn't seek to be thought well of by man. They desired to be thought well of by Almighty God. That was the great concern. And my friends, may it be your concern and my concern to be thought rightly of our God. Yes, that we are doing those things in accordance with his will. Now, you and I know if there are any things in our lives which we are doing contrary to the will of God, if they speak not according to this word, do our lives speak in accordance with the word of God? Our lives, our spiritual life, the outworking of that spiritual life, is it in accordance with the word of God? The word of God is there for our instruction, isn't it? It's there for teaching, and it's to direct us in the right way, in the right path. And the Lord has told us so very clearly, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And that's an embracing word, isn't it? Doesn't relate to one specific thing, but you can think about those commands in the Word of God, right throughout the Word of God. The things in the Old Testament, the things in the New Testament. Do we desire to keep the commands of God? And do we do it because we love the Lord? If they speak not according to this word, not accordance with the word of God, then there's no light, we're told here. It's very easy to hide, isn't it? To, as it were, duck the issues and make excuses. We can make excuses to each other, can't we? We can make excuses to ourselves. We no doubt have made many excuses to ourselves. But one thing you and I can't do, and that's make excuses to God. Because God knows what is right and what is required of us. And therefore, it's a very solemn thought if we find ourselves walking contrary to God. And the word tells us this: if ye walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. And that's an exceeding solemn statement, isn't it? We don't want God, do we, to walk contrary to us. We want to be found walking with God, and God walking with us, and encouraging us, and confirming his word to us, and speaking to us. If that's our real desire, then surely we should be concerned to be found doing that which is in accordance with God's word. Now, God's word is clear, isn't it? And in honesty, we're not allowed, are we, truthfully, to make excuses. You know and I know, if in our lives we've been doing those things which are not in accordance with the word of God. If they speak not according to this word. It's very clear, isn't it? And very direct, and how important it is that we understand the truth of God's word. The Apostle John recorded those words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke in the 5th of John in the 39th verse, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." What do we include? What do we conclude from that? This is surely a word from God, to search the scriptures. If you and I are not sure what to do or what to say, then here is the answer: to be in accordance with the word of God, to search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. From Genesis to Revelation, they testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we desire to be found spiritually alive and growing spiritually, it will only be as we feed upon Christ, our blessed Saviour. And in so doing, it will mean searching the scriptures to find those places which testify of the Saviour and to rejoice in our spirit when we find those evidences clearly set forth regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Naturally, there's a resistance, isn't there, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, if we are labouring, heavy laden, the Lord tells us, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Wonderful words they are, aren't they? No doubt, perhaps, we've been there. Perhaps we are there. Burdened, heavy laden. It's a gracious invitation. Come unto me, all you, everyone who's in that category. And also then to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Another gracious command of our God in love. And yet you see how many there are who walk contrary to that. And this is solemnly true of them. If they speak not according to this word, they are not a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it true? It is because there is no light in them. Is it solemnly so because there's no light in you? Or is it because you're not following the gracious words and instruction set before us by the Saviour in the Word of God? Well, we are to search the Scriptures. And if we're to search the Scriptures, surely we are then to follow the Word of God. We're not to search the Scriptures and then come to a word which directs us and speaks to us, and we turn over the pages and forget about it and ignore it and don't want to hear the Word of God. Well, what we are doing, we are not walking in accordance with the Word of God. Wonderful it would be if the Lord gives us a willing spirit. A willing spirit. A spirit to bow down and worship the Lord God. There's no better path. There's no more comfortable path in walking in God's ways. Because if we walk in God's ways, you know, we'll have the answer of a good conscience. Because we'll have the evidence that we're doing those things which God calls us to do. The things he calls us to walk in, to the law and to this testimony. You know, in the law and the testimony, in the Word of God, what do we observe in searching the Scriptures? We find all that we need to find about the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we've been struggling and looking everywhere else, and we haven't been found looking to the Saviour. No, we've been trying this avenue and that avenue. But you see, perhaps the time comes when the Word speaks directly to our hearts in very simple words. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto the Saviour. No, we pray for that living faith to look to a crucified Saviour and to read in the Word of God as we search the Scriptures, that this glorious man, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And as we read the Word of God, we find, yes, he came to seek and to find me. I was lost. I was ruined. I was wandering far from God. The Lord came and he found me. He found me where I was, weary and worn and sad. What a blessing to have such a Saviour to come and find us where we are. We can read in the blessed pages of Scriptures so many encouraging accounts of the Lord coming and blessing and directing. And may we find, as we read the Word of God, trace out our little lives' experience, our little lives' testimony, and we can lay our experience alongside the experience of those who've gone before, and those who were blessed, and those who were instructed, and those who were drawn to the Saviour, and to then be drawn ourselves in love to Him. Always a great blessing, you know, to know the drawing power of God. And I believe it's this. Very often, as you and I read the Word of God, yes, then it is as though the Lord draws near and draws us to Himself. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, if we don't follow the word of God, then we won't find any comfort. We won't find any blessing. We won't understand what Isaiah said in a few chapters farther on when he came and said, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, the church of God, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What glorious words of comfort are contained in the Word of God. Well, as you and I read the Word of God, to be blessed with such encouraging words like this, and as we come down to the end of this chapter, where the 40th chapter in Isaiah, where again the Lord speaks through the prophet, hast thou not known? He asked the question, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the great God, the eternal God, the Lord, the creator at the ends of the earth, nonetheless, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, here's an encouraging word, isn't it? If you are truly waiting upon the Lord, what's the result? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Those words in Song of Solomon are often so true. Draw me, we will run after thee. Well, as we're blessed with the Word of God and reading it, to read the great and glorious truths it contains, and to be lifted up and directed to the Saviour and all his finished work, to rejoice in it and to come to that understanding that, yes, we have heard his word, we have read his word, and we do speak, and we do that which is in accordance with the word of God. What a blessing, my friends, is ours. To the law and to the testimony, says the prophet, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Well, it's a very solemn statement, isn't it? But my friends, may we have the evidence in our lives that we are not in darkness. Light is in our soul, and we are able and willing to do that which is in accordance with the blessed Word of God. Amen.